Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. It is the 26th of September, and we are all getting ready, geared up for the 42nd Ryder Cup, which starts Friday, of course, in France. And we're going to be talking with a few people today. Joining us in just a few minutes, Dr. Bob Winters, a good friend of ours, sports psychologist, that has been with us a number of times to talk about the psychology of golf in general, but certainly Ryder Cup, the pressure, the difference between a Ryder Cup and a regular tournament, all kinds of things that we can talk to Dr. Bob about. My personal problems, we're going to get I'll be laying on a couch during most of this show, just so everybody knows how it's going to look when we're doing this. We also have our good friend Bill Lombard. He's owner of Azalea House in the hospitality business and has helped us out, and along with a lot of tour players when they travel around the country. He is going to be joining us from France to give us a on-the-site report of what's going on there. And so we're excited about that. That's coming up in just a little bit as well. So a lot of great things headed our way as we have so much to talk about. One of the greatest weeks, I think, in sports all year long when it is Ryder Cup year is the Ryder Cup. It's right up there to me with Super Bowls and Final Fours and everything else. This is going to be a great week of sports. And I can't wait for it all to get started, and we're already kind of there. Frank Bassett, as always, joins us from the Nashville studios. Frank, are you kind of giddy this week?
Oh, my gosh. I'm still emotionally exhausted from Eastlake. Sunday was an unbelievable experience. I mean, the stress level, you felt the electricity, but you also felt the stress, and then the exuberation. It was just incredible. Number 80 for Tiger Woods. Funny that poor Justin Rose said, yeah, I just wanted to tap in and get out of there because I knew who they were all rooting for, and they were. They were behind Tiger Woods. Yeah. Tiger Woods had tears in his eyes on 18. It was incredible to see it, and the empathy, I'm still on a super high from that. But I want to jump to something here. We're actually very global today. I mean, we're Dallas. We're from Dallas, from Nashville, from Orlando, Florida, with Dr. Bob Winters coming in a moment, and from Paris, France, from Le Golf National, and outside of Paris, with Bill Lombard. And we have some other team members over there, too, the Golf Talk America team members that we'll be talking to later in the week. But, wow, we're kind of spanning the globe, if you will.
The wide world of sports. Nobody's ever used that title before, so I'm going to say that. We're the wide world of sports. Yeah, you're right.
What in the wide world of sports is going on here?
Are we doing here? This is crazy. Back to what you're saying in Atlanta, and you're right. You just got back a few days ago from the Tour Championship. But I don't want to take anything away from Justin Rose. I almost feel like you're right, that it was almost like the U.S. Open women's tennis final, that Oksana didn't get the credit that she deserved because of all the controversy and everything. We know that Tiger deserves a lot of praise and all that. But Justin Rose had a heck of a tournament. He's number one in the world. He cashed the biggest check when it was all said and done. Do you think that, I'm curious, Frank, before we get to Dr. Bob, we're trying to, or the PGA Tour is trying to solve that issue where you're not having two winners and some confusion about two guys trying to celebrate at the same time and who gets more attention and whatnot and have it be consolidated. Did you feel it was kind of disjointed because you had Justin Rose and Tiger both being celebrated on Sunday?
No, not really. I mean, I didn't have a problem with that in the past, but it was certainly anticlimactic for Justin Rose, and I'm sure in his head, psychologically, he wants to be on that high. I mean, winning the FedEx Cup is the ultimate on the PGA Tour.
Sure, yeah.
Yet, number 80, two back of Sam Snead's record, and first time in 5 years for Tiger Woods to come back, and now he's beaten three generations of golfers. He's proven better than all three generations he's played against. It's can't wait for Dr. Bob to talk about some of this stuff. It's heady stuff.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see that on Sunday. And again, we're already moving into this week, which of course is the Ryder Cup right around the corner, and it'll get started on Friday. Dr. Bob Winters is a noted sports psychologist, and as Frank said, he's all over the world, but we find him today in Orlando, and he joins us this morning again. Dr. Bob, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Frank. Great to be with you guys this morning.
Hey, real quick, hey. Before we go with Dr. Bob, I want to throw one other thing in that I forgot at the top of the show.
Yes.
We were staying at the CNN Center, Omni Resorts and Hotels. Omni's a big sponsor of Golf Talk America. And big shout out and thanks to the Omni organization and the staff at Omni at CNN Center for the hospitality there. I could fly my drone in their lobby. I was thinking about it.
Probably not a good idea.
Probably not.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Bob, again, thanks for being with us. And first of all, let's even maybe go back to what we were just talking about and in the mindset of Tiger Woods winning for the first time. We all know the story, so we don't have to go back about the 5 years and injuries and surgeries and everything else. But pretty impressed, I'm guessing you are, that Tiger could overcome all that he had to overcome and finally win again. Because a year ago when we were sitting here, we didn't even know if he'd be able to play golf again, much less win on the tour.
Well, all the different things that Tiger has gone through over the last 3, 4, 5 years, I mean, has been the ultimate challenge for any athlete, any person, really. Some of these were self-inflicted wounds and others were injuries. I mean, I think we now have, with Tiger, we have about 31 procedures that he's actually has undergone on his body since he's actually, you know, come to national prominence. And what he did was just, you know, really sort of confirmation of the adage, never say never. I mean, never really, you know, count this guy out. And he got himself, you know, fit. And I saw it, Frank and Tim. I saw the reemergence of Tiger Woods after he went through sort of this battle with the chipping yips and sort of, you know, the driving problems. I saw it here earlier in the year in Florida. At one of his first events, you know, down at PGA National, and he was by the green, and everyone, and when we start talking about the chipping yips, and that's really sort of my area of expertise where I help a lot of people either on the putting green and on the chipping and the driving yips, but they really show up on the chipping yips. A lot of people have conquered their putting yips, but, you know, to get through what he was going through, and really to come out and actually really reinvent and retool his methodology and also his mind to come over that was huge. I saw him hit a shot, a very delicate shot, over a bunker on the third hole at PGA National. And when he hit that shot, and he hit it so delicately and so competently, I knew that he was really doing, and I kept following him the whole day just to kind of see really how he was doing. And that was really the part of the game that was really showing up. So all year, fellas, he has actually been sort of getting better and better and better and getting all parts of his game moving in the right direction. And it culminated in this huge win, you know, last week at Eastlake. So kudos to Tiger, an unbelievable performance. Absolutely.
Yeah, Dr. Bob, when you talk about the, and I'm very interested in this, and I know Tim is, the chipping yips. I mean, why are they so difficult to overcome?
Well, it's a larger fine motor movement than just a putting stroke. And also the angle of attack, the different types of shots. The ball isn't sitting on a flat, planar surface like it is in putting. So you have different lies, uneven lies. You have the ball sitting up. You have the ball sitting down in different type of lies. So that angle of attack, that accelerated motion, it gets exacerbated. And when the human mind sort of has to process a lot of different things, especially if there's angst and there's sort of this level of what I call triosity, it creates a lot of tension. And tension is the number one killer in golf. And tension in the short game, when it shows up, that's really where it shows up. But it just shows up so prominently on those little 20, 30, and 40-yard little pitches and chips. But that's why it shows up so much, Frank, because it's, you know, all of the different, you know, type of lies. A putting stroke is back and through. If you really think of putting stroke, it's just taking your hands back and through, and a lot of people want to collapse. And that's really what happens at impact with the chipping yips. You know, if you're a right-handed golfer, the left side breaks down, the right side takes over, and it almost over-manipulates, oversteers, over-controls the face, and that ball can go anywhere. And a lot of times, because the right hand comes in, we dig in and we create the ultimate chili dip. And it happens, and it happens in the Ryder Cup, as you know, you had alluded to before we really came on air. There's a lot of players who, once they do that on this international stage, it really creates an emotional scar tissue that is very hard to eradicate.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, and for sure, for people like me and others that have it, it's good advice and things they need to listen to. Certainly in Tiger's case, people question whether or not it would be over the long haul of his career or whatever else he was going to be playing if he could overcome it. It seems like he certainly has, and to his credit, he's overcome not only the health things, like you said, psychologically also, some yips and some other issues to be where he's at. So we're talking again with Dr. Bob Winters, sports psychologist. You can find out more about Dr. Winters if you'd like to go to drbobwinters.com, and all the information is right there on the webpage for you to find that out. Let's look at the Ryder Cup, Dr. Bob, and we're talking about all the pressures that we have. Few guys ever feel in golf, ever feel the pressure that they do in these kind of events. If it's a President's Cup, a Ryder Cup, is it because they feel an obligation now, other than just to themselves, that maybe their teammates, certainly their country, it's a much bigger picture? Is that put a different type of a pressure on these golfers than just a normal tour event, or even a major, because they're just all by themselves? Now they've got more responsibility. Does it mess up your head?
Oh, absolutely. The Ryder Cup is an event that stands by itself. Now, if you're on the European team, the Ryder Cup is the ultimate. I mean, it's even up there higher than a major championship. And if we take a look at the two captains, you have, you know, Thomas Bjorn, you have Jim Furyk. Both have been on numerous Ryder Cups, especially Jim Furyk. Thomas has been on three winning Ryder Cup teams. He's never experienced a loss. And so the Europeans, they just come together. They meld together. They integrate together because they love this team aspect. They love the individual, the isolationism. It's all about you, your ball, and the target. But they are playing for a higher cause. And I think here in America, the USA team, they're just starting to really grasp how important, you know, a Ryder Cup is to your dossier, to your resume. And I got to tell you, there's nothing more pressure building than to be up there and people, you know, are doing ole, 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 and USA, USA. And you're on that first tee and you are the first pairing going off on the first day. And that's why both of these two coaches, and there is so much importance put on the pairings, but there is no more important pairing than this first tee pairing the first day, because what we know through history is that that first match that goes out, and if my stats serve me correctly, I mean 13 of I think the last 19 Ryder Cups, when that first match goes out and the winning team wins that first match, that team goes on to win the Ryder Cup. So that momentum, that emotional, what we call emotional impulse, that emotional contagion, it just flows through the entire team. And that's why you really want to put somebody on that first tee in the first pairing that can handle the heat, that's very steady, steadfast, calm, and is very, very cool, calculating, and can actually execute. That is such an important demeanor. It doesn't mean the big, you know, glamour celebrity pairing. It means give me a couple of guys that can really execute and get the job done. And that's really the really biggest part of the pairing of this Ryder Cup, because the buildup, it has been building up for 2 years. And it's built up all week, all month to this one, you know, little 15, 20 second entrance onto the main stage. And now if you see, you know, the grandstands around that first tee, my goodness, it's like, you know, it's like playing in the middle of a football stadium. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Dr. Bob, speak to, and you and I've talked about this before, the difference in teeing it up at the Tour Championship, when you're sitting there with the FedEx Cup lead as Bryson DeChambeau had, and then teeing it up in the Ryder Cup, going within one within a day, basically, from a mindset of individual sport to team sport?
Well, the first thing you've got to do more than anything is understand, yes, it's important. But, and I've just written a big article in Golf Week, you know, just came out, you know, this past month. And it was talking about never having to apologize for your play. I used the old movie Love Story, where the key
I was thinking
line,
that, yeah.
Yeah, the key line was, love means never having to say you're sorry. What that means is every one of these players, every one of these 24, both USA and Europe, they are playing, you know, their hearts out, you know, for their country, for their fellow teammates. But you cannot hold yourself emotionally hostage if you miss a shot and you're not clutch. Everybody wants to be clutch in this event, but they are going to miss shots and they will be under the magnifying lens. And it's a tough thing. So the one thing you have to do psychologically is understand, hey, you've got to break it down to the simplest common denominator. It's golf. It's about me, my ball, getting it to the target. And you've got to cut out and disconnect from all of this other psychological, perceptual fat. A very, very easy thing to say, much, much tougher to do. But that's what you have to do. You have to understand that, yes, this is different than any other tournament, Frank and Tim. It is. But you cannot, you know, hoist that pressure and put all that pressure on you as you step on that tee. You know you have a job to do. Let's go out and let's focus on execution. And that, if I was a captain or a vice captain, I would actually be talking in my ear and to every player's ear. This is what you need to be doing. You know, it's golf. Keep it golf. Enjoy the moment. Go through your procedure. And, you know, hey, there's not enough, you know, deep breathing exercises, okay, between the time you come out of, you know, that little entrance onto that first tee. There's not enough things. You have to have a philosophy already set up saying, I know I'm going to be nervous. I know this is really a big event. I'm going to do what I do best. I'm one of the best in the world. I'm going to play golf, and I've got to keep it golf. You've got to keep it that simple, because it becomes so overwhelming. It could just take you right out of the golf match.
We're talking with Dr. Bob Winters, and again, noted sports psychologist, worked with a lot of different athletes, a lot of golfers in the past couple of decades in the world of sports psychology. And I'm curious about Jim Furyk. He's the captain. He's been a player. Now he's the captain of the team, Dr. Bob. And
yes,
the matching that you have, the pairings that you have in four ball, in the foursomes, and a lot of attention being paid to both coaches, both captains, if you will, about who they're going to put with who. And today you see that they have different groups going out. Yesterday, some different groups went out and practiced, and everybody's trying to read the tea leaves. What's that mean? Does that mean, would he possibly put Tiger with Phil? No, that can't be. Is it DeChambeau with Tiger? Everybody's trying to figure out what that's got to be a very daunting task for the captain to figure out if you split up Reed and Spieth when they've been so successful in team competition, but are they going to continue that way, or do you go with someone else, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, good friends for years and years? That's got to be one of the most difficult things psychologically for Jim Furyk to figure out, because it'll all fall on him. If he puts the wrong guys out there and they fail miserably, why did you put those two guys together, they'll ask.
You know, well, forever it will be, I think, in 2004, Hal Sutton put together the two big guns.
Sure.
He put Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson together. And, you know, I've heard it talked about in the last month. For heaven's sake, do not put Phil and Tiger together. You've got two alpha yeah. males there, totally different egos, totally different strategists. Tiger, very cool, calculating, very serious, very somber. Will hit, you know, the high percentage shot. Will hit the smart, functional shot, even though he makes it look very spectacular. Phil, the gambler, I mean, there's not a shot that he won't take. So, you know, you cannot put those two in foursomes. And I would not put Tiger or Phil out at the very front. I'll tell you who I would put. I will tell you this. I would say this to Coach Furyk. A twosome that you may not think would be good in foursomes, but I would put out Webb Simpson and Dustin Johnson together in that first group, because Dustin, with his demeanor, I mean, he's cool, he's calm, he's very long. And Webb Simpson, you know, he's a strategist, he's a chess player, and he's been playing some unbelievable golf, a straight driver. And that's really what you want on that first tee. You want to get off nice and solid, and especially here in the Ryder Cup. But they do. It's so much getting the players that are comfortable with each other. And if I'm Thomas Bjorn on the other side, I mean, my goodness, you've got Justin Rose and Ian Poulter. I mean, that right there is a great combination. You've got, you know, fire and ice right there together. That's a great combination. They've grown up together. They love playing with each other. But there's a lot of us. Sergio could actually be with John Rahm. The two Spaniards. I mean, that's a really good, you know, relationship. So you got to take a look at all the different personality, all the group dynamics, you know, the couple dynamics. And I'll tell you what you don't want to do, though, you don't want to overbrain it, overthink it, overcalculate it, which everybody wants to do. You really just got to go to the players and go, who would you like to play with? Who do you feel comfortable with? Who, you know, has this player's back? And that's really what you got to go with. And at the end of the day, you could have all of these different pods, all the personality profiles. But what you have to do, you have to go with your gut. And then whoever you are paired with, you got to say, you know what? I'm going to be great for me today. I'm going to be great for you. And I'm going to be great for our team. And that's the type of player, competitor, this tenacious quality that you want to have. And in the meantime, you know, I think if like we, our parents have told us ever since we've been little kids, you know, as a captain, you go out and you look at your team. Hey, let's have a blast out there today. Let's enjoy the day and create our day. And I think that's really what this whole Ryder Cup is. It has become such a serious, you know, mono-e-mono, dog-eat-dog contest that we sort of forget that it's a great exhibition as well. And who wins? And who do we want to win? Well, I think golf wins with the Ryder Cup. I think, you know, everybody wins with the Ryder Cup. It is an event everyone loves, you know, to get ready for. So I'm excited about it.
Dr. Bob, you know, when you speak to, Tim and I are playing together as a team.
Sure.
And I go out, and we're playing alternate shot. And I go out and put a quacker on my drive and put Tim in a position in the trees, let's say, on the whatever tee, first, fifth, whatever, doesn't matter. But at that point, who becomes the cheerleader? Because you've got to, it's almost like you need to drag yourself up. Okay, I'm not going to take that shot in my head and beat myself up about it. But what does Tim say to me when I do that to him?
You know, I think the other
Frank,
part is...
Frank, hey, not I, again. Not again, Clint. That's what he says.
Now, let's go back...
Why do you keep doing this?
Now, let's go back in history a little bit. I can't tell you which Ryder Cup it was, but I think the match was, I think it was Lee Westwood and Darren Clark going against Tiger Woods and Jim Furyk. And on the first opening hole, what happened was Tiger hits first, and he yanks it. And he yanks it in the water. And that's Tiger's, you know, that's his big miss. When he gets on the first tee, I mean, we've seen it at the Masters. We've seen it at almost every tournament. He almost becomes numb, comfortably numb. I mean, I think he gets so overjuiced that he sort of loses that timing. And he actually, that's his miss. He hooks it. So he's with Jim Furyk. And Jim Furyk looks at him, taps him on the back. And I remember watching it many, many years ago. And this is why I think Jim Furyk is such a junkyard dog, mean competitor. He was great, you know, for Tiger Woods. Steve Stricker was another great partner for Tiger Woods. And Furyk looks at him. They go down, and Furyk knocks it up there and hits it up there right by the green. Or, I mean, I think it was in the four ball. So it was a four ball competition. And then Tiger hit off. Furyk hits his ball down the fairway. Furyk puts it up by the green and makes a 10-footer for birdie. That's what you have to have in a partner. Again, you have to look at your partner and say, hey, you know, I'm human. I made a mistake. But that's where in this sort of competition, you've got to give your opponent confidence. Or you've got to give your partner confidence, and you've got to give your opponent fits. And that's really what we do. And that's why, you know, you've got to let go your ego here. All right. You just can't, you know, say, I'm going to do it all. This is a team event, and you've really got to struggle for every half point, every point that you possibly can, because they do total up. But if Frank, if you go in the water and you're looking at Tim, and Tim, you're looking at him going, wow, you know, thanks again, you know, appreciate it. You know, that you're already done. You might as well stick a fork in you and just put you on the Barbie, because you're done. You're done for the day. And I know that a lot of players, we have, you know, foursome and four ball competition here in America. And that happens every week or every tournament where, gosh, you know, he goes out the window and he goes, all right. Because the pressure's all on you now, partner. And I think you have to expect the unexpected. You've got to expect good things that will happen. You also have to expect the unexpected. And that's really what happens here in the Ryder Cup. And I got to tell you one thing, you know, that I have talked about. When Rory McIlroy on the eighth hole at Hazeltine, and I think, you know, Frank, you were probably there. If you saw it, he had that 70-footer. And that's yes. The one where he actually makes it, and he's yelling at the crowd. He goes, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. And he just loved that. And just not more than 25 to 45 seconds later, you know, Patrick Reed has to sort of regroup himself, and he knocks that putt in from off the apron about 25 feet to actually have the hole. And he's looking at him. He's shaking his finger. No. You're not going to get away with that. And, you know, Rory McIlroy was there to give him a congratulatory bump. That, to me, is really what, you know, the pinnacle of our sport is.
It is.
I mean, there's no trash talking. It's just, I mean, there's a lot of desire. People want to beat each other's brains out. And that's why Tiger Woods is so happy to be here. He wants to beat, you know, these young guys. And he was even talking about the press conference the other day. He says, hey, you guys want to have a piece of it? All right, here you go. All right, bring it on. And bring it on. And I'll tell you what, he loves that. He relishes that. And well, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, they asked McIlroy this morning in his press conference, did he feel, you know, playing, of course, you know, Sunday with Tiger, did you feel any intimidation in that final round? And he kind of grinned, and he went, yeah, that rough was pretty intimidating. he just didn't want to go there, but you knew he was the recipient of the Tiger effect on Sunday, and it was blatantly obvious the entire day. He struggled, and the crowds, the movement, the noise, just the, I call it the Tiger effect.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt, you know, and anybody that plays with Tiger, I think if we take a look back a few years ago at 2012, you know, when it was the miracle of Medina, and you had Francesco Molinari, and here's another one. He has played now with Tiger several times head-to-head. He's in the final match with Tiger, and they asked Francesco, you know, hey, you're going to be playing Tiger Woods. You're here on USA soil. How do you feel about it? He says, I was nervous as a cat. He says, but when, you know, the pairing was announced, I finally got myself together and say, hey, I can do this. But I tell you now that the Francesco Molinari that's teeing it up at Le Golf National here in 2 days in the first tee at the Ryder Cup is a different Francesco than he was, you know, back in 2012. So we've got, I think, in my estimation, fellas, this is the very best USA team that we have had for a long time. And make no mistake, you know, I think a lot of American listeners don't know some of these rookies on, you know, the European side. The European side is loaded. They're loaded for bear. They're playing at a golf course that is tight. It's not so much, you know, big hitters ball. It's what we call small ball. It's, you know, about, you know, strategic approaches, iron shots, great putting. The greens will be a little bit slower. They won't be 13, 14. They'll probably be about a 10. They really will. So I think there's a few things that, you know, that are, you know, weighing heavily in the European, you know, department that they have an edge. But I got to tell you, you know, when you go into a hostile arena, there's something that really sort of creates sort of this psychological fervor within an athlete. And they're like, okay, I know the job's dangerous. I'm up for it. Let's go. I'm ready to meet the challenge. And, you know, people like Tiger Woods, Patrick Reed, you know, even Ricky Fowler and Brooks Koepka. I mean, you know, Mr., you know, jaw. I mean, he's got that jaw. He's going to set it forth. He's going to say, I'm going to get it done. It's going to be a great, great matchup. Probably one of the very best matchups we've seen in all of the Ryder Cup, maybe since 1987, where, you know, the Europeans defeated us at Muirfield under the direction and captainship of Jack Nicklaus. So I look for this to be a fantastic event.
Yeah, it should be exciting as all get out. And Dr. Bob, we appreciate all your insight. As a matter of fact, even bringing up the fact that most of these guys are comfortably numb. You get credit for that one. Bringing a Pink Floyd reference into our conversation is bonus points to Dr. Bob. I appreciate
you
doing that.
Well, Tim, you realize in that song, Comfortably Numb, where he says, it's, you know, you feel a little pinprick, and then, you know, you hear this guy screaming in the background. That is really the sound that's going on in a lot of these players' head when they're stepping to the first tee. I guarantee it is. But they're professionals. They're the best of the best. They are the top gun of this profession, and they're going to be ready come this Friday. So I'm ready for a Super Ryder Cup, and thanks, you know, so much, you guys, you know, for having me on.
Oh, it's always good to have you, Dr. Bob. We appreciate it. Promise you'll come back very soon so we can do some more Ryder Cup talk and do some recap and get ready for the 2018-2019 PGA Tour season.
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas. You know, and always, like I said, you know, the moment you change your mind, you change your game. All right. Take care now.
There you go.
Thanks, Dr. Bob.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Bob. Again, drbobwinters.com is his website. Go to that website and you can find out a lot more about his past and what his philosophy is on a lot of these things. And he can help you right there on the website with any issues you might have.
And he's a player, too, Tim. I mean, I've played golf with him. He's a player.
Knows what he's doing. Yeah. Hey, I'm curious, too, Frank, about the, you know, this obviously we all know it's an away game for the U.S. It's in Paris. I'm curious how that affects the U.S. It seems like it certainly would, because even though this team is favored, and if you look at the odds in Vegas, and we're going to be talking with Billy here coming up in a little bit, he might know a little bit more about that too, because he does a lot of hospitality in Vegas as well and knows some people out there. Mm-hmm. The odds are very favorable for the U.S., although they haven't won on foreign soil since
25
you
years.
Were in like junior high. I mean, it was like forever ago, right?
Yep.
So I'm curious that both teams want to be the underdog, right? Nobody wants to really go into this saying, hey, we're the best. We're going to beat those guys and have a Muhammad Ali kind of a confidence about it. I don't know how that works when you've got, if you're Jim Furyk, in instance, and you've got a team loaded with great players, major champions. As a matter of fact, the average world rank of the U.S. team is 11, which is the highest any Ryder Cup team has ever had for world ranking averages for the whole team of 12 guys. So he is loaded, but you still have to try to be that underdog. You still have to say, poor us. I don't know if we can pull this one off. It's like the Lou Holtz thing, right? It's got to be a challenge for Jim Furyk to know you're really good, but try to convince those guys not to get cocky.
Yeah, I can't remember. You mentioned Lou Holtz. And do you remember, and before the break, do you remember when Lou Holtz was going to the national championship game when he was the coach at the University of Arkansas? And the starting backfield for the University of Arkansas violated team rules, and he kicked the entire starting backfield off the night before the game. Do you remember that?
Right.
And they won.
I do.
And they
won. The Orange Bowl, actually.
Yeah, the Orange Bowl. And they won. Unbelievable. Yeah. What they should put Lou Holtz in charge of the Ryder Cup team if you know, the next time.
Dr. Lou Holtz.
Dr. Lou Holtz.
He was a genius of that stuff.
That's really how
he would play the game. My guess is that they were all chewing gum on the team bus or something. I mean, it didn't have to be much. It's just he needed somebody to be off that team so that the rest of them could go like, oh my God, and they all had to come together, right?
Step
to make up.
Up
for the for the guys that were gone. So
Yeah. You bet.
Do you have gum in your mouth? I'm sorry, you're not going to be playing tomorrow.
You're out of here.
I'm sorry, Coach. Did we not? I didn't read that rule book. Yeah.
By the way, again, before the break, Tiger Woods played a practice round yesterday and missed one fairway. That driver is dialed in, baby. And that was always his nemesis, and now it's there. So every piece of his game is there. This is scary good.
I can't wait to see who the pairings are going to be, because this is really going to be interesting. I think that a lot of people are thinking it's going to be Tiger and Bryson.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. I don't know that you can break up the team of Reed and Spieth. They've been so successful.
Well, wait now. Wait a minute.
Although there's been some friction between the two, because Patrick Reed is Patrick Reed. And he'll have friction for everybody, right? But I think that there's still they even said while they were playing, if you remember this, at President's Cup, I think the last event they had, that they like beating each other, right, while they're playing in that competition, that they're both trying to make birdies. They're both trying to, and while they're doing that, they're playing better amongst themselves. So sometimes that's, again, where you need a Dr. Bob. Jim Furyk needs to look into the heads of these guys and go, okay, you make some jokes about each other, and Reed certainly does that about, he rubs people the wrong way, but is it okay? He's got to play with somebody. We know he's extremely effective in these events. Who's going to play with him? And back in the day, I think it was a couple of Ryder Cups ago, I think it was, and I don't know if it was literally or just figuratively, that Spieth kind of raised his hand and said, I'll play with Reed. Because there was a question about, okay, who's going to go with this guy? Because he is fiery. He might get on you if you, in an alternate shot, miss the fairway or whatever. Who's going to have the mentality to deal with Patrick Reed? And Spieth was the guy, and it's turned out to be great. I don't know if you break the... Who knows? You know, it's
it's going to be so much fun. This is going to be so much fun. Yeah. I'll get zero sleep this weekend, but so what?
All right, we're going to get a quick break. We have Bill Lombard, owner of Azalea House, who's going to be joining us from Paris and tell us about what's going on there. It's way ahead of our time. He's probably almost at dinner time now in Paris, but the guys are out in the practice on the course practicing and working out, so he's going to give us a bird's eye view of what's going on right there at Le Golf National when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and myself will be back right after this. Stay with us.
We're going to have to wait.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett joining you from Dallas and Nashville. And now we have on the phone Bill Lombard. He's the owner of Azalea House. We talk about Azalea House on this show all the time. Of course, great hospitality organization that helps ourselves when we're on the road covering a lot of different events, as well as they help a lot of different PGA Tour professionals and their families and all kinds of hospitality at every event you could ever think of. And if it's happening in the world of sports, Bill's usually going to be there. And for the 42nd Ryder Cup at Le Golf National in Paris, Bill is there for us to give us a man on the scene there to tell us exactly what's going on. Bill, how are you doing today in Paris? Are you having a great day so far?
Bonjour, Tim. Sunny and 80 out here in Paris. Well, sunny and 70, but my attitude's always sunny and 80. How you doing?
Hey,
nice,
pal.
Nice. We're doing great.
Bill takes me to the BMW Championship Philly. Then he takes me to the football game that Thursday night, the opening of the season. Puts me on the sidelines. Now he's in Paris. The man is a world traveler.
Good life.
Bill, we've been going back and forth this morning. You're there on the course. It's the grandstands. Tell us about those grandstands that are set up. I mean, we were there together at the Ryder Cup in Minnesota. How is that first tee different there?
The first tee is set up to be massive. I bet it's a grandstand that can accommodate maybe 5,000 people. And you're looking right down one. You've got sight line to the ninth green, sight line to the driving range. And then when you're up high in the seats, you've got a sight line to the 18th green. I believe it's the 14th. Yeah, this is the 14th tee. And you can see 17 playing away. It's amazing. Amazing.
Wow.
I mean, you're elevated probably a couple hundred feet in the air, so you're at the highest point on the course.
Well, the estimates are stating that there will be over 6,000 people surrounding that first tee for the tee shots, period. But that first tee shot, I don't think I'd want to be the guy who goes out and for the USA or Europe and has to take that first peg in the ground that morning. Oh, God.
I'll tell you what, I watched Patrick Reed on the tee. He had finished his morning practice round with Tiger, JT, and Jordan. And that's right, Tiger, JT, Patrick, and Jordan. And then Patrick walked back or took the cart back over to the first hole with his caddy, swing coach, and entourage. And they were, he was hitting tee balls off of one. I mean, he probably put a half a dozen tee balls down one with different clubs, certainly playing out the different scenarios with the clubs, the length, and all of that. Absolutely. And yep. I'd be okay with Patrick swinging first for USA.
Wow. I'm curious, too, Bill, about the when the tournament actually starts. And, of course, in our country, it'll be 2 o'clock Eastern on Friday morning is when they tee off. So it's going to be very early here. It'll be perfect in the early, late morning in Paris when they're going. But I'm curious about the atmosphere you're feeling. People were saying, when we were talking about the Ryder Cup even months ago, you know what? They're not that into it. France is not that big of a golf country, whether the fans will care or not care. You've been not only at the golf course and around the practice rounds, but also in the city and restaurants and whatnot. What's your vibe on the feeling there in Paris for the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, you know, down in Paris, downtown, you can sense that there's an event taking place. But I'll tell you what, when you get to the course, which is about 35 minutes by train, heading out here, it's a different atmosphere out here where the course is. Downtown, it's a regular holiday. It's just, I'm not sensing that, but I'll tell you what, like, we still have a couple more days to go. it wouldn't surprise me if the USA is like just run down, what is it, the Champs-Élysées?
Close enough. Close
the
enough.
Champs-Élysées.
Underneath this monument, underneath that monument, you can't make it up. It's beautiful.
It's fashion week there in Paris, okay? It's fashion week, Bill.
It is fashion week.
And that's...
It is.
I'm so glad that we don't have our significant others over there. Or I'm glad I'm not there because I'd be broke.
Frank, don't I have your credit card or something for LV store?
Yeah.
What'd you give me?
Fendi.
Am I going shopping for you?
Fendi. She wants Fendi stuff. So there you go.
Fendi. You know what? We were out on the town for a little bit last night. It's really beautiful. The weather, I have to really talk about this. The weather is perfect. When you look at those high grandstands, you will see wind. But a lot of these holes, as you'll see on TV, are kind of concaved in. It's an amazing spectacle. So the winds will certainly play an effect if they come up. But it's sunny and 70 every day. The temperatures are real cool in the morning. The group that I followed this morning, the Tiger, Jordan, JT, and Patrick group, they were all, you know, by the end of that nine holes, they were in regular short sleeve polos.
Wow. So besides our team, you've been hanging out with the Junior Ryder Cup teams. I mean, you met Rachel Heck from Memphis, 16 years old.
I did.
16 years old. The girl ties for, 33rd in the Women's U.S. Open and 44th for the Avion. It's 16, and you said you ran into, Erica Shepherd from Indiana also.
I did.
And William Mole.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they said they wanted to come on the show to you, so let's get them on this show, too. That'll be fun. That Junior Ryder Cup is an exciting thing to watch.
Super. It's super for these young kids to feel a victory off their own soil at this young of an age in this type of competition and setting. You know, and our USA pros just wrapped them up, like after they were done their practice round. Super exciting to see.
What happened on the driving range? You were talking about Brooks or something. What went on there?
Oh, I got a couple of driving range stories. So our first USA pro to come out while the USA team... You know, about, 12 wide on the driving range was Jordan. And, you could see these eyes and heads start turning. And he walked up to each and every single one of them, handshake, high five, grabbed them all for a picture, and then came all the way down to the end of the driving range with Michael Greller and Cameron. And they set up, and Jordan started hitting balls. And, you know, they were switching positions to get next to him for photo ops and everything. Yeah. And I was standing there with William's mother and sister and Erica's mother and Rachel's mother. You can't make it up. They were so thrilled. The kids came over, said hello to us. They introduced myself. Said, we got to get you kids to call Frank Bassett and Tim Matthews.
There you go.
Perfect.
We appreciate that. Our man on the scene at the wide, wide world of sports.
Let's get your story. Yes, let's get your story back to Dallas and back to Nashville, and you guys can do your production voodoo and make them worldwide entertainers.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you're good friends. I'm sorry, Tim, go ahead. Reset it for me. Because I
was just
going to
say, we're joined by Bill Lombard, owner of Azalea House, known for hospitality around the world, azaleahouse.com, and he's in Paris to experience everything there is to experience. You're doing some work. We know that... Bill, while you're there, so we appreciate you taking some time because it is a busy, busy week for you and all the hospitality that you put on. But I know you're enjoying your time there as well and seeing the sights. I'm curious, too, if you would give us – you've seen a lot of different golf. You've been to great golf events, Masters and everything else that's in the world of golf. Golf course-wise, tell people what to expect when they watch Le Golf National. What kind of golf course is this? Is it comparable to anything that they might see on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tim. You know what? Like, I walked the course yesterday, again this morning. It's tight in some areas. And for the spectators, there's not a flat piece of ground out there. So your ankles are always up a hill or down a side or, you know, so it's a tough walk. And for the players, in this type of vocal atmosphere, remember, it's not all quiet out there for these guys hitting every shot. They're getting heckled, you know, left, right, and silly. So the course is tight. There's a lot of water When you're coming in, like the, and as we know, Ryder Cups don't end on 18. A lot of times they're settled on 15, 14, maybe 16. But there's some really great water shots, and I think, you know, how the coverage goes is really going to show just how amazing 16, 17, 14. Can't compare it to anything else I've ever seen, though.
Well, I think the closest, Tim and Bill, I've heard is it is a almost like a Pete Dye, you know, stadium course, the way it's built with all the mounding for spectators. So it that makes it a tough walk.
Yes.
Makes it a tough walk out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, what have you seen?
50,000 fans are just going to be up and down those hills. It's going to show.
So we all know, we're all good friends, you're good friends with the Spieth family. Is the whole entourage there? Is Blaine there? Did he make it from Atlanta?
He'll be coming in. He'll be coming in tonight.
Okay.
No, Blaine comes in tomorrow night, and Eric's coming in.
Great.
We caught Jordan and Ricky, DJ, on the 14th tee box, and had a great conversation with those guys.
Great.
So, yep. We'll represent to the best of our abilities.
What's the buzz over there about Tiger Woods winning for the first time in 5 years and winning the Tour Championship and having such a fabulous season this year?
It's massive, Frank. Let me tell you, you know, from what I've seen, like the Tiger effect on this golf course, I mean, obviously we watched Tiger come in on, they finished on 18, so they played the back nine this morning, and the Tiger effect is in full force. He came off 18 with a couple golf balls in his hand that he had signed, launched him into the crowd, and it's an ovation. They love him. Tiger's worldwide.
Yeah, no
absolutely
doubt.
Worldwide.
Come By the way, the play, European... Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, coming off of East Lake, I mean, we got to play the tape back to this time last year. Maybe questionable to play his own hero tournament.
I don't want to hear what we said, so don't go listen to those old shows, folks. don't listen to him. I do not want to have Tiger look at a video and see me or an audio and hear me say, I don't think he'll ever play. I didn't say that.
You know, Frank, I think I told you this story. I was up in Boston at the Dell, staying at the Renaissance Hotel, and I took an elevator ride up to my floor with the big cat and security guy carrying his golf bag, and he has a different stride at 42.
Yeah,
he really does.
He's a young 42.
A good opportunity. Yep. I know Bryson threw 64 at him on Sunday at that, and I don't think that he forgot that. I mean, we had a mini Ryder Cup Sunday at East Lake with Tiger and Rory walking down 18.
Yeah, exactly. It was. Exactly. I can promise you that the intimidation factor was back. Roy McIlroy, and we said this earlier in the show, was asked in his interview this morning if there was an intimidation. Was he intimidated on Sunday at East Lake? He said, "Yeah, that rough was really intimidating," and had that little grin. Yeah, so he knew Tiger's back. And we said this too, Bill. And think about this: Tiger has beaten now three generations of golfers consistently.
Yeah.
Different generations. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And I think that he's absolutely soaking up this competition. Who wants to play me?
He is doing that. They wanted me.
I think he's feeling confident, and there's reason to be confident. Yeah. He's been playing so well. I am curious, though, Bill, the last five Ryder Cups, going all the way back to 97 on European soil, different countries, dominated by the Europeans. They've won five in a row, including the last time, 2014. They won 16.5 to 11.5.
Yeah.
Very, very unfortunate and a blowout. Those numbers are blowout kind of numbers. They also won back in 06, 18.5 to 9.5. That was embarrassing. So the European soil has not been good for the U.S. And I'm curious, when you're walking around, even in town or on the golf course, will there be much support for the Americans? It's a great trip for people to take. Not everybody can do it. Do you think there'll be enough support there for the U.S.?
You know what, Tim? I really think with the way social media goes, the way TV coverage, you know, is in place out here, it is a tough place to get to. So for the American fan in Europe to travel here by train, by car, by plane, it's not that difficult. But if you're, you know, back in the States, it's we're not around the corner out here. I mean, we're
right
a few thousand miles away from home, but I do think that the USA team will get some support, but, you know, hey, we're on their soil. They're louder than we are because there's more of them.
Yeah, not like Hazeltine. Hey, listen, Bill, whatever you do, be very careful and take care of the GTA G5, okay? Take care of our jet.
You know, I have it parked. I have a private runway. I lost my
right
pilot.
Next to Tigers.
Tim, can you help me?
Lost the pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in a bar. He's in a bar somewhere.
I don't know where she went.
Yeah. Where she went.
Yeah.
Okay. It's fashion week, Tim. Remember that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fashion week. Well, Bill, I think she went shopping.
Bill, we appreciate your time. Your phone bill's going to show how much we appreciate your time for calling us all the way from Paris.
I called.
Have a great time there this whole week. We may talk to you later in this week, but certainly maybe even next week to give us a follow-up on how the whole thing transpired. Are you predicting a U.S. victory here, Bill, or what are you going to go with?
You know what? I am. I'm not looking too far back. I'm looking as far back as 2 years ago. I love the fact that Tiger, you know, hey, at the President's Cup, he was in a golf cart, right?
Yep.
He's right. Playing. And I think that there's a lot of locker room experience with him playing versus him being a captain. I think it's going to be tight. There's no doubt. We haven't played this course before. Not many of our USA golfers have come over here to play, to check it out. So recon's a big part of this game, and I think they're getting some good practice out there. But, yes, that trophy's going to fly back on something much larger than a G5 with 12 happy USA golfers.
Okay, so Bill Lombard has just told everybody to at least put a dime down in Vegas on the USA team. There you go.
And speaking of which, Bill,
dime.
No, I'm talking about the gambling dime. Yeah, the gambling dime.
Oh, I understand the gambling dime.
There you go.
Yeah, we got it.
And speaking of Vegas, you know, I mean, Tiger matching up against Phil, who's going to carry it's going to be great TV to watch those two guys if they're paired up together.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I don't think they're going to pair them up together this week, though. I just don't believe that'll happen. But, you know,
they're different than they were. Yeah, back when Hal Sutton did it, they were much different guys. Now, we've seen the new Tiger, right? Now, whether he still works with Phil, we don't know. But Bill's alluding to their nice match that they're going to have, their $9 million winner-take-all in Vegas Thanksgiving time, that Bill will be out there for. Frank and you and I may be out there as well for all that. It's going to be great excitement. But they do have a different relationship now, though, Bill, don't they, than they did even 10, 15 years ago?
There's no doubt. It's let's champion... And they have a different responsibility as well, 42 and 48 to the younger golfers, the younger generations, the fans who look up to them. I mean, Arnie taught them definitely to sign a little longer, to laugh a little bit longer, and please hit the ball more often, like play more tournaments, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing from both of them.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
We'll try to stay off the runway. Don't jump up on the runway during Fashion Week, Bill.
I got to find my pilot, Frank. Once I find my pilot, I'll be calling you back.
You should be fine. All right, Bill, have a great time there. Thanks so much for your time.
Take care, Tim.
Thanks, buddy. See ya.
See
ya,
Frank.
All right, Bill Lombard again, owner of Azalea House. Yeah.
I'm still laughing.
Yeah.
Well, we know Bill pretty well. Our listeners don't know Bill as well, and he's a piece of work. What a sweetheart of a man he really, really is. And he's very close friends with the entire Spieth family, which is how he brought us into that fold. Although you know Spieth from Dallas, he brought me into the fold. So, you know, Blaine is a piece of work, and you know Blaine Simmons. Blaine's one of Jordan's best friends and a really good golfer, too. We saw him there at East Lake. He's with United Rentals now, heads up their golf division, whatever. And, he was bailing out and heading to Paris. So, wow.
And if you want to know more, like I said, it's azaleahospitality.com. Azaleahospitality.com is a website for Azalea House, Bill Lombard, and they're happy to help you for Kentucky Derby, Super Bowls, Final Four. I mean, you name it. If it's a big event, then Azalea House and Bill is going to be part of it, including Ryder Cup. So, again, azaleahospitality.com is their website. Check it out there. Well, Frank, it's been great. Hey, by the way, I've got a little fun fact here for you that I've been reading just locally here. Found something. Didn't know about this, but it's kind of a fun Ryder Cup fact. That obviously they took off for a good 10-year period there during World War II when there was a lot of conflict going on and they weren't playing golf and not the Ryder Cup. And they're trying to get it kicked back into gear. That was as Ben Hogan was playing very, very well and people were loving him across the pond as well. And they're trying to get it back into action. Well, there was a guy who was at in Portland, Oregon, at Portland Golf Club, and his name was Robert Hudson. And he decided in 46, that he wanted to get the Ryder Cup back in gear. Well, the Europeans, quite honestly, didn't have the money. The team, the function of the European Tour and everything, didn't have the money after coming out of the war to send the guys over and do all the things. He footed the bill for the 47 Ryder Cup for the European team to come and play the 47 Ryder Cup in Portland. And wow. Ben Hogan was the captain of the U.S. team back then, and the U.S. won. But a lot of people have said, and this is a little-known fact and by a guy that people don't know much about, Robert Hudson out of Portland, Oregon, if he hadn't done that, it might have kind of faded away because it had been off for 10 years and it may have stayed off for a while. And by the time they wanted to get it back, nobody cared. It didn't matter. He said, no, we need to reignite the Ryder Cup. And he paid for everything. They came over in the Queen Mary on the boat. He paid for all their food, their hospitality, their rooms, everything. They didn't pay a dime.
Wow.
And so it's kind of a cool story back in 1947.
That's a real cool story. Where did you read that story?
Yeah. I read it in a magazine here locally.
Oh, okay.
There's a Avid Golfer magazine is a local golf magazine here in Dallas, and I was just reading it and I thought, wow, that's kind of
what a
had
great
no
story.
Idea about that.
Is he still alive?
Had it not been,
is
not
the man
been
still
for
alive?
I don't think so. No, I don't believe he is.
Any of his descendants, maybe? We should get one of his descendants on the show. That would be a great story.
It is a great story, isn't it? And from a, you know, nobody would have thought of Portland as, you know, any mecca of golf or anything else, but this guy just said, by God, you know, I want Ryder Cup to continue to go, and they can't afford to do it. So, and they had Hogan as a little bit of an instrument to kind of inspire to say, let's get this back and I'll pay for everything. And he did it. And people have said, a lot of noteworthy Ryder Cup people have said it may have seriously died on the vine, the Ryder Cup as an event, if this guy hadn't done what he did back right after the war.
Well, so, it's certainly going to be an exciting week and weekend, and we'll have more updates from Paris. Our very own buddy, good friend Bob Bupka is there, so he'll be reporting in. Bill will give us another report back if we can keep him off of the runway at Fashion Week. Bill's a good-looking guy, and he's single, so I'm sure he's getting a lot of attention in Paris.
They start Friday morning, and I should know this, and I guess I don't. Are they playing foursomes or they play four ball? And by the way, the Europeans call it something different. I wish we would too, because foursome is very confusing.
It is confusing.
It's alternate shot, and they call it alternate shot pretty much worldwide, except for here. For some reason, we call it foursome, but people get very confused because you're like, okay, four ball, foursome. What's the difference? And we explain it every year, but four ball is better ball. You and I are playing, Frank, and if you get a birdie and I get a bogey, then we use your birdie. Best score among the two of us.
Right.
Foursome is alternate shot.
Right.
And that's what we should call it. Yeah. Alternate shot is a very simple way to explain it. You understand it. You and I both take turns hitting, which makes it really competitive. If I hit into the trees and you got to play out of it, that's where Tiger and Phil got a little sideways because Phil was not driving that particularly well. And Tiger was like, well, thanks again for putting me up here.
Well,
and I got a hit out of the rough.
And the biggest factor in that is playing the same or different balls.
Yes.
Tiger plays a very spinny golf
ball.
Very spinny golf ball. So, that's critical. That's more critical, I think, than almost anything. It just is that ball. So, got to work all that out. A lot of strategy, a lot of stuff going on. I'm sure that team of vice captains, which is a who's who of golf, as well as Jim Furyk, they'll have it down. And Thomas Bourne will have it down, too, with his team of vice captains. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Great to watch.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Can't wait.
I'm going to live vicariously through Bill over there this week and Bob. So
I know. The weather does look spectacular, although he's right.
It's windy.
I only say that because you can tell when the guys are doing their practice rounds, you see some of them have their winter caps on when they're playing. So early morning, looks like it must be in the 40s or 50s. Warms up to maybe 70, but a little bit chilly in some of those early tee times that these guys are getting. So,
it was chilly in Chaska, too, 2 years ago when we were there in the mornings. It was very chilly.
Yeah.
Then it would warm up in the afternoons. Yeah. So, and I won't go into it again, but they put me in a haunted house. I swear before the Lord, it was haunted. It was haunted. So, anyway, it's going to be a good week, but we got to get out of here and go play some golf or something, right?
Yep.
Today?
Yep.
Just warm it up?
Yep.
No alternate shot today, buddy. Okay,
all right.
No alternate shot.
Hey. We had a great time today. Really enjoyed. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Thank you to Dr. Bob Winter, sports psychologist. DrBobWinters.com is his website. Thanks to Bill Lombard with Azalea House, AzaleaHospitality.com, their website. If you need tickets to any big event or hospitality, a place to stay, then Azalea House would be the place for you. All right. We look forward to the Ryder Cup, as all of you do. Please join us next time. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We'll talk to you next time right here on Golf Talk America.